time to search this magic, and the whole world's looking at you, you know? And I know that it wasn't very easy. You maybe got in here because you cared, and City Council, you had applied to reach out to people, but maybe after a while you kind of forgot, you know, where you started up in that road. And what you, you know, you never forget that now that you're there, you know, even though where we are here, we're going to be there too one day.
Your time, okay.
So, what I want you to know that, you know, our people got eliminated here. They used to, were sent up to the slave plantation.
I'm sorry, your time is up.
Hold on. Because it took me a goddamn 100 years to be here, right? Now, they had slave plantations for Indians, and the whole Indians were eliminated. Not only the blacks, but right here. Now we just got stupid Spanish missions. They're all abandoned, no Indians. And in San Jose, we only got 200 lonely Indians. But what I'm trying to say is that we are forgiven people. And I think that, that all of you came with all your religions and all your philosophy and all your crap here. And I think that, you know, you should at least learn to share. Because we share this. And you took this land from us without asking, without treaties. You know, and you took it by force because you came here looking for stupid gold. And you were selfish with all your prostitutes and all your thugs and corruption. You still are doing the same thing that your forefathers, when they came here with all this greed and power and everything. Now, you have to let it go because you know something? You cannot preach all this greed to the whole world because the whole world is looking up to you. And you set an example because you are the pearl of the world. And people come here to Santa Cruz.
I really need to stop because I made everybody
else. You have to start
else.
Giving love.
Thank you.
Start practicing what you goddamn preach.
And again, a passionate, somewhat off-topic speaker who went on for an extra minute almost. But notice how Mayor Byers did not threaten him with arrest, did not direct him in the fashion of Mayor Fitzmaurice to step away from the podium, did not attempt to impose military 911 discipline on him, but simply eventually got him to leave by repeating, "You have to go." This is using essentially the force of, well, it was the force of her mayorship and her preeminent position at the podium and the threat ultimately of police action, but it was done, well, perhaps you might say it was done in a gentler fashion with more tolerance. That is gone from current city council meetings.
Because SJBD will pull you over for being downtown and round, and for no other reason. And you will find yourself at the corner of 27th and Santa Clara at a McDonald's parking lot, surrounded by four police cruisers, while two bigs in SWAT gear search your car illegally, and a third one frisks you. And now I'm not talking about no pussy little frisk like you see in front of a club. I'm talking about a real motherfucking frisk like they do on cops, where they tell you to spread your legs, put your hands on the hood of the car, and they pat you down so good you think you're getting a hand job. And you know, if they don't find nothing on you, if they don't find nothing on you,
and welcome again. It's Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. I'm the man with the robe behind the mic. My name's Robert Norse. I'll be with you for 3.5 hours here on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM You're invited to join this not only by listening, but by participating. You can give us a call at 427-3772. We are Uncensored Radio. We appreciate it if you stick to the topic, which kind of does ramble about a bit, so you'll have some latitude. My main focus is civil rights for people on the streets and people who are poor, and the continuing drive to remove those rights, allegedly to assist businesses, to accommodate tourists, to make residents who don't like the idea of homeless people sleeping nearby, that makes them nervous, more comfortable by removing them from the area. All these attacks on homeless people, plus, of course, the more positive side, when homeless people themselves actually get together and start asserting their rights, as they did, for example, in Camp Paradise last year, or as they've done in Dignity Village up in Portland, Oregon, or in Tent City 3 in Seattle, Washington, or in Camp Goodwill in Toronto. Folks standing up for basic human rights, to me, is very encouraging and something that this show really is designed to promote, organize, and further. So if that's your interest, then you're tuned to the right station. If that's your fear, well, start listening and let's ventilate some of those concerns. Maybe we can drag you on board too, or coax you on board, or hear your perspective. Again, the phone number to call in is pretty easy, 427-3772, 427-FRSC. We've got a tentative schedule for the next 3.5 hours, a couple of big blocks of time I'm laying out. One starting at 10:30, when I'm going to be talking about, actually, I'm going to be doing hopefully less talking. I've been criticized for talking too much, can you imagine? About the camping ban amendments that came up at the last city council meeting on Tuesday, 5 days ago downtown. And I've talked about that a little bit on our Thursday show, which runs from 6 to 8 in the evening. But there wasn't a lot of time to do it. And this is really only the first part of a rather long struggle around this issue. The issue returns to City Council in 3 weeks. The City Council unanimously passed two ordinances, which of course should tell you something, meaning that they're meaningless ordinances, or make it worse, unfortunately, because of the tenor of our City Council. Any meaningful votes would have had to have been split votes, because you've got some people who are just hopeless, like Fitzmaurice and Premack. You might say, why is Premack hopeless? He's been trying to help out Camp Paradise, or was many, many months ago. We'll talk about that as well. And that's going to start around 10:30, and I invite you to call in and alert other people if you think that they would be interested in this subject. I'm going to be playing some videotapes on an audio machine. I hope that's going to work on one of the famous Free Radio Santa Cruz servo mechanisms here that I have yet to master, but this could be a turning point for me. We'll see if how I do on that. Maybe I can get coax one of the technicians into the studio if he's roaming about. But we're going to try to look over what happened back in 1999 when the last major hearing on the camping ban happened. There were actually more than 20 meetings of a subcommittee called the Task Force to examine the camping ordinance. And then there were many hours of debate and discussion at City Council, in at least 2 long City Council meetings. And there were changes made, primarily minor face-saving changes in the camping ordinance, but they were pretty much all liberalizations. At least that's what we thought, until City Attorney Barisone informed us that no, the camping ban had been made tighter in 1999. And we're going to talk about that. We've already talked about it a little. It has to do with the fact that there's now supposedly, according to the city attorney, a 3-day limit on stays if you camp on private property in backyards or side yards, 3 days per calendar month. A serious cutback in the amount of time available to people who are able to use the good Samaritan efforts of those who open up their backyards, and also a 3-day limit in business parking lots, and also a 3-day limit in church parking lots, none of which has ever been, I've never heard of such a thing before. We all know, of course, there's been a 3-day limit in the residential driveways. Thank you, Tim Fitzmaurice. He put this in just sort of noticing that a vehicle gets towed after 72 hours, so why shouldn't you tow away those grubby homeless people who may be upsetting, you know, Aunt Matilda down the street, or Uncle Jim, you know, 5 blocks away. I don't like to put it in such a bigoted context, but unfortunately that's the context in which that kind of discussion belongs. And unfortunately that's the attitude that former mayor and current council member, so-called Green Party member Tim Fitzmaurice, has showed in the last 3 years on the city council. And at this debate, there was, of course, that was seen too, although these were more liberal days, and you get to hear some fine discussion by, actually, and I mean that, fine analysis by Councilmember Sugar, who is just right on the money, dismissing the magnet effect and standing up for some real changes in the camping ban, which he was defeated on and then, of course, never heard from again. And we're stuck where we are now, and we'll be talking about that again about 10:30. Also, coming down the pike, and this to some extent depends whether I can get a co-commentator in the studio on this issue. Christopher Crone, our mayor, was on Talk About a week and a half ago. Did an hour and a half show. For those of you who missed it, Talk About is a KZSC show out of UCSC. The student radio station happens every Wednesday night from, I think, 7 to 8:30. And Crone, finally, after delaying for 2 months and crapping out on at least one occasion, maybe two, came on to Michael Sammet's Talk About show and fielded some questions. And Michael was good enough to lend me Christopher Crone's tape, that tape, that is, of the mayor holding forth and defending his record and expressing his hopes and his dreams, God help us. And I'm going to be playing some selections from that that relate to civil rights for the homeless issues and shelter issues and a few other issues. And I'm hoping that we can have, I've tried to coax the infamous Scott Graham into the studio, scope it out. Scott, as I call him, a longtime council watcher, but he's a man who, he's a busy man, he's got other stuff to do. But I'm hoping we can get him to come in and give a knowledgeable perspective that isn't as wild and crazy as mine, or perhaps a little more wild and crazy, hard to tell. And that's going to be starting around 12 or 12:15, assuming we get our man in the studio, which isn't certain by any means. Some other things have happened today for those of you who have the $1.50 to buy today's Sentinel or are online and are able to get it through the Sentinel's online website. The front page of the Sentinel is taken up with more anti-homeless, anti-street people propaganda by Sentinel staff writer Dan White. He actually has three stories. And it's kind of sad, you know. I've been on the internet to Dan. I mean, I've been on the email to Dan back and forth trying to give him some of the background and some of the different perspectives on this issue. And he slips in some quotes from people on the street, and that's nice. But in terms of the major issues that are, for example, happening around the privatization of public space, I don't, on my first reading, see much discussion of that at all. I mean, that is what's really happening downtown. What's happening downtown is, as you may know, at the first meeting of the year, by unanimous vote, that's including our liberal, progressive mayor, Christopher Crone, privatized the area in front of the New Leaf Market. And that hasn't actually gone up yet, as far as I know, though it's been raining, and perhaps that's one of the reasons, but it has been marked out for a brass railing around the planter to allow for private seating for two private restaurants currently located in the small green kiosks in front of and up from New Leaf Market at Pacific Avenue and Lincoln and Soquel. And this is these are Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe are in essence being given exclusive use of the sidewalk 24 hours a day. So they can choose to allow people to be there at night, but they can also choose to call for trespass complaints, and they can also choose to enforce the infamous Kennedy-backed sitting ordinance, and that's the law that criminalizes sitting anywhere on the sidewalk 10 feet from a cafe. And since that area has become a cafe, the entire area in front of New Leaf is now a forbidden zone for sitting once these brass railings go in and the police begin enforcing this new merchant takeover of the public sidewalks. You know, it's not that I don't like cafes on the sidewalk. I do. You know, I happen to have the money to be able to go to a cafe on the sidewalk, and that's very nice. But it's also true that there are many, many people who don't have that kind of money, at least who can't do it with the kind of regularity that others can. And the whole idea of the Santa Cruz downtown to me is diversity and tolerance and a mix of people. And this attempts to destroy, it specifically targets young people at in front of New Leaf Market, who Matisse Selman of Sushi Now, the owner of Sushi Now, and Ali Ka, the owner of Alibaba's Cafe, have decided, along with the Downtown Association and probably New Leaf Market, I mean, I can't believe that they aren't really weighing in on this. They claim not to be the manager that I talked to, but frankly, I'm skeptical about that. And the police department. And, of course, Julie Hendy, who is the new henchwoman of the Downtown Association on this, previously the owner of Cat and Canary, who delighted in removing hippies from in front of her store and then went out of business not because of the hippies, but because rents went up and escalated in a huge fashion 1997-98. The economy, of course, is not to blame. It's those grubby people down on the streets. We've got to turn it into the Capitola Carmel-type area, and that way things will be so much nicer and better. And, of course, this article by articles by Dan White is so-called Downtown Dilemma. It doesn't talk about differential enforcement of merchants or harassment of hippies by Alibaba's Cafe or Sushi Now, complaints filed by us, Matisse Selman's father, for people, quote, feeding the pigeons bread. Dropping bread on the sidewalk has become a crime, thanks to these merchants and their determination to harass young people. Sitting near a closed kiosk at night has been the subject of numerous tickets. Thank you, Ali Ka, and thank you, Downtown Association and City Council and Police Department, for supporting this kind of invidious attack on poor people downtown. And now, of course, the Sentinel, well, I mean, what do you expect, is doing nothing other than trumpeting these dirty, undesirable, transient elements. There's not a word in this article, for instance, about an attempted mediation that I did, spent hours working on, sent a lot of documentation to Matisse Selman, gathered his opinions, the opinions of the folks at the planter area, the community planter, or hippie corner, as some call it, in terms of a code of conduct, like the Street Performers Guidelines, or the 1995 Celia Scott passed study on the finding mediation, conflict resolution, and code of conduct alternatives to calling the cops and giving over this area to merchants and wealthier people. We didn't have any of that mentioned in this article. There's not a word about any of the harassment. I don't see a word about this amplified music that they've been blasting out, classical music, as part of their, you know, psychological warfare against against young people. I guess they think they don't like classical music, and some of them don't, of course, or Irish jigs or whatever they're playing out there. There was a complaint from Cottontails. You know, this wasn't in the story by Mike DeGide on Friday in the Sentinel, and it isn't in any of the stories by Dan White that I've noticed. And again, I've given these stories a kind of a quick look at. I just came in. But it's all, you know, propaganda for this action, really. I mean, White, no doubt, would take an issue with me. But not only can't he get the sleeving ban and camping ban ordinance debate straight in the paper either, which is a sad thing, but typical of the Sentinel. But this whole business of the downtown stuff, he also can't get right. And I guess he pats himself on the back for bringing the issues up in the first place. We wouldn't have known, I would have, because I checked the agendas, but most of the community would not have known that City Council on January 8th was going to pass and privatize this deal with Selman and Ka, Alibaba's Cafe and Sushi Now, unless White had broken the story in the Sentinel. And he did break the story in the Sentinel. But, of course, he didn't go into the background of it. He didn't go into the original intentions of this broad sidewalk on that side of the street, which is supposed to be a trade-off for the destruction of the old mall, which wasn't really done by the earthquake. I mean, the earthquake did it, but it could have been rebuilt. Instead, the police department, the Downtown Association, and conservative hacks like Marty Wormhout, who is now our supervisor but was then our mayor, who was already testing a pilot one-block plan to straighten up the mall, remove all the vegetation, get rid of the red brick planters. They put it all in. They rammed it through the Vision Santa Cruz process, which had no homeless representation, by the way, that I was aware of. And they got this current mall, which looks, you know, sort of like a bleak cross between a Carmel scene and a parking lot. I mean, you go down the mall. It's ramrod straight. there are comparatively fewer, far fewer places to sit than there were before. And the merchants remove benches at will. Some of you who listen to the show may remember what happened with Robert Steffen, the man who was three times arrested by Ken Cole, the Homeless Services Center, for the crime of sleeping on the porch of the Homeless Services Center. We talked about this last Thursday, after he was refused admittance to the ISSP program because he wouldn't do slave labor. He would not do chores. He simply wanted a legal place to sleep. He didn't insist on being accommodated. He just didn't want to be arrested. And, of course, they arrested him. And when he was downtown, they removed benches in order to avoid his being there. They removed benches from Julie Hendy's Cat and Canary when it was around. That was a large clothing store that is at the corner of Cathcart and Pacific, right across from Gateway, what was Gateway Books and is now becoming something else, across from the UCSC Taqueria Extension building at the head of Pacific Avenue there. So the merchants have the key say in this. The Downtown Association is the key pressure group. The police department has the inside track, whether it's destroying cafes. I don't say cafes. Whether it's destroying bars. There was this big attack on bars, the Blue Lagoon, the Dakota, Palookaville, the Catalyst, which, you know, were orchestrated by people like Lieutenant Patty Saponi and others, where they were essentially just trying to curb those scenes themselves, and then, of course, go after musicians and all kinds of other venues and make it require permits through the police department. We are in the middle of an era where not just homeless people and poor people are being attacked, but people who are different are being attacked. And, of course, this has been nationally much more visible since the 9/11 situation in terms of the police infrastructure that's being built up and the amount of money that's going for this process. So it's something in Santa Cruz that we have to take a stand on and we have to fight back on. And whether it means appearing on February 1st with a mass rally at Pacific Avenue and Soquel and Lincoln at Hippie Planter, as activist Becky Johnson has called for, or whether it means supporting the boycott of Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe until they're willing to reasonably sit down with folks and work on a Santa Cruz-type solution, you know, not a Capitola or Burbank kind of solution to this problem. Removing a whole class of people is not the way to go. And that is the way they're going. And that's what we've got to stop out there. All you folks listening can do something about this and need to do something about it. And it doesn't just involve a call to the city council. And, of course, you can always call them. You know, that's nice. And it makes them uneasy, and then they can ignore that. But it's still, you know, that's fine. 420-5017 is the number to call to city council, 420-5017. But the real number to call are groups that are organizing to do direct actions around this and mobilize community support. And those may be HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which I work with, which you can reach by calling 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I've been working with others in tabling down at the Hippie Planter area and encouraging people not to shop at Alibaba's Cafe, which has been closed for about a week and a half. I think he's just waiting out the storm until he gets his castle set up and his battlements and his little privatized area. And Sushi Now. Matisse Selman is, however, you know, continuing to operate. And it's really kind of it's a sad thing for me that Matisse is not taking some kind of a step back from this and expressing a willingness to negotiate with folks, because I've always regarded him as a humane and compassionate person, and I think he is. And I think the problem is he's allowing his concern for his business, or what he sees as his business interest, to take precedence over the human interest and the broader community interest. And in a way, we can't really expect anything else. I mean, every person, you know, is to some extent has their own blinders on. I think he does. The community has to act and assert its own rights, or you're going to lose those rights. I mean, it's very simple. It's like the bumper sticker on that weird red car you see running around town with all the bumper stickers. Ignore your rights, and they'll go away. It's very simple. And that's, if that's what you want, that's what you get. And I don't think that's what most of us want. So you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm talking about Dan White's latest smear job in the Sentinel. Three stories that they're full of minor errors, but the major thing is the lack of any discussion of the primary issues at the Planter. You know, the he goes into all these behavioral complaints by the Downtown Association. He finally gives us some police stats about the issue, but he doesn't compare them, for example, with other years. So we don't know if they're increasing or decreasing. We don't know where they're coming from, mostly merchants in the area who are having their vendetta fight with the young folks there, like Ali Ka, who has, you know, he likes to portray himself as a great, a compassionate, spiritual fellow, and I've given him a hug on occasion, and I chat with him, and I like him as a human being. I keep saying this. You know, I like Christopher Crone as a human being. But the problem is, these people take positions publicly and do things that hurt people politically and socially and in terms of their daily lives, and you have to speak out about that. And I'm afraid that is what we're all going to have to do, and we're all going to have to say, don't spend your money in these joints. Set up a picket line around these places. Let the Downtown Association know that if they are going to start destroying places on the mall as gathering places for the public is going to respond by saying to the Downtown Association, this is not the way to go. And it's ironic because I favor buying locally. So, for example, when I've boycotted Borders in terms of spending a penny there. I have never spent a penny in Borders. I spend many hours reading their books. I think it's a great library. I used to use their bathroom when it was open. They've closed it, apparently, and such. But I've always agreed that Borders Bookstore destroys smaller bookstores, even though Neil Coonerty's bookshop, Santa Cruz, has barred me from the bookshop for the last 8 years, since 1994, when we were protesting Coonerty's downtown ordinances. It's the Coonerty-Kennedy downtown ordinance set of laws that makes it illegal to sit down on the sidewalk, peacefully ask for a dime after dark, have a table on the sidewalk after dark is a crime in Santa Cruz. It's regarded as an obstruction. These were all passed in order to placate merchants who didn't like the homeless activists who were raising the issues of the sleeping ban. There were two small protests back in 1994 around that involved a week-long protest on the sidewalk in actually one of the excavated areas. It wasn't really around a business at all, but they were just showing people that people should be allowed to sleep legally somewhere, and there was a small group of people that stayed out all night there and took some tickets. So in consequence, out came the downtown ordinances, again, masterminded by our city attorney, John Barisone, and Scott Kennedy, and Neil Coonerty, and Mike Rotkin, folks like that, Cynthia Matthews. And we have the same process going on here, and the same cast of criminals is going to be showing up at city council next year, I mean, in November. They haven't announced yet, but, you know, I'm frankly persuaded that the likely slates are going to be Rotkin, Kennedy, Kennedy's on that already, but Rotkin, Matthews, and Byers are coming back to for a return bow, or maybe a return dump. I don't know what you want to call it. They're coming back, and we have to be ourselves, do the kind of organizing that will not persuade these council members, but curb them. It's a big job, and I hope that folks out there want to start doing it. What are we going to start with here? Well, the other night, compliments of Becky Johnson, who found these videotapes, and didn't make them, by the way. These are not her videotapes. They were made by someone else on the evening of February 23rd, 1999. On that evening, what was it, 3 or 4 or 5 hour long debate on changes in the camping ban. And let me just step back from this moment and remind you, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And if you want to call in, any time is the time. If we don't put you on the air, we will let you know when you can go on the air, and we won't cut you off. Although after the third phone call, we make it a little cranky with you. 427-3772 is the phone number here, 427-FRSC. And if you are listening on the computer, you're listening on the internet at www.microradio.net/FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's what's happening with that. In December of 1998, there was a new city council seated. They had just beaten the old guard, the Kennedy-backed candidates, Linda Steinau, Jane, is it Waldem? I've even forgotten her last name. And the man I called Canfield's banker, the Seaside Company boss's banker, Rod Quartararo, were all defeated in the city council races by a three-man environmental slate, Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar, who are currently sitting on the city council and giving a bad name and giving a bad name to all those who elected him. It's a sad thing. But when they first arrived, we had a lot of hope for them. Some of us did, anyway. I wasn't terribly hopeful, but I thought, it's a chance. We couldn't get there. The commitments they made were a little bit slimy and a little bit evasive and a little bit reluctant. But Crone, for instance, and Sugar did attempt in December, after Catherine Byers refused to let this happen and Fitzmaurice backed her up, to get at least a suspension of the sleeping sections of the camping ban over the Christmas vacation of and the council recess, so that during the worst weather, 98-99, Christmas 98, there would be, given the fact that there was no legal place for 95% of the homeless people to sleep or 90% of the homeless people to sleep, a cessation of the ticketing, a cessation of the harassment, and a chance for homeless people to sleep safely in groups somewhere, something that was passed later as a concern and recommendation for homeless women by the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, by the way, which meets next week, as I understand it, for those who want to go, Wednesday. I think the hearing is at 6:30, although perhaps we can get a call-in from that on any informed listeners. They're talking about the concern about homeless women. But anyway, back in 1998, we had some initial strong moves from Sugar and Crone. They met with homeless activists. They met with Kate Wells. They even perished the thought, met with me and others who were trying to tell them, this is the history of our struggle, this is what we're looking for, these are the kinds of traps you're ready to find. Unfortunately, they didn't meet with us much, and they were more nervous about what Catherine Byers, who was then the mayor and the kind of the key swing vote. There were three of them. It's a seven-person council, so she was the fourth vote. And she had been this kind of liberal voice in the wilderness, somewhat, although not always, in the past 8 years. She was appointed to city council way back in 1989 and elected once and re-elected once. In any case, Sugar and Crone did some good things in December. They tried to, and they were voted down by the council majority. And instead, Catherine Byers set up a thing called the Task Force to Examine the Camping Ordinance, which turned out to be a dog and pony merry-go-round show that was designed to exhaust activists, divert attention, persuade the public they were trying to do something, and end up doing very, very little, and certainly not deal with the core issue, which was the sleeping ban, the human rights violation in Santa Cruz that criminalizes all sleeping after 11 o'clock at night in vehicles or on any public property. Period. Currently, it is legal to sleep in a vehicle on church property and on business property, and there are disputes as to when and how this can be done, but it's legal there, or in a driveway for 3 days. But it is completely illegal, and was illegal then, and is still illegal, to sleep on any public property after 11 o'clock at night. Homeless people, you see, don't need to sleep after 11 o'clock at night. The shelter facilities are so wonderful. Their body temperature, chemistry, and schedules are different than the rest of us, so they don't really need to be here at all. In fact, the less seen and said about them, the better. That, of course, has been the agenda for the Santa Cruz City Council for the last 3 decades. You'll hear Mike Rodkin babbling other things on this tape, and how wonderful our social services are, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's all bullshit. I mean, there is some social service activity in Santa Cruz, thanks in large part to activist pressure against people like Rodkin, who have not been terribly helpful. I mean, he has eventually supported initiatives, but he has really tied up, tripped down, and destroyed or fought more good initiatives, I think, on the homeless issue than he has passed. And he's not on the city council right now. For those of you who don't know him, he's coming back. He's a UCSC instructor up there at Community Affairs. He's a very personable fellow, very intelligent, knows what's going on in city council, and he at least studies the issues. He also lies about the issues, which is a problem, but he studies the issues. And I say this advisedly. He does have the courage to come on radio shows, or you might say the the arrogance. I think it's good that he was willing to come on free radio and has a number of times to debate me and others on these issues, the sleeping ban. Unlike other folks, I think Crone once in his life walked in the studio here and talked to me briefly, but wouldn't discuss substantive issues that I raised. So there's a... What we're going to be listening to now is a tape of the debate that happened in February. This task force to examine the camping ordinance was set up by Catherine Byers, held more than 20 hearings, and went through, actually did some good research on issues around the magnet effect. There was some stuff on homeless violence against the homeless. There was a lot of input from the community as to what they did and didn't want. And, of course, they were badly cowed by groups like the Harvey West Association, the Business or Residential Association. I can never remember what it's called. Area Association, actually. Don Hubbard, the tall, older man who spoke essentially against the homeless on the last two council meetings at Oral Communications, I think, and then at the public comment section of the camping ban discussion last time. The task force held numerous meetings. I mean, they went on and on. I've been trying to get their tapes and their discussions and debates so that I can review them more carefully. And they came up with, eventually, they just buckled under to Catherine Byers' decision that they were not going to change the sleeping section of the camping ordinance, which was the real issue for a lot of us. It's a human right to sleep somewhere legally at night. Not in someone's backyard, not in front of someone's business, not all over the world, not all over the town, but you cannot arrest someone for sleeping. And if you do, and if you have a law in place that allows police to do it, and they are doing it, then you are engaged in the same kinds of human rights violations that this good city council writes resolutions about in other places like Nicaragua and Colombia and Philadelphia and wherever you want. You gotta take care of your own scene first. And that's something, of course, that local city councils have a lot of trouble doing because they're elected by people who are taken care of just fine, thank you. And they want to just sort of make sure the rest of us don't get in their way. And that's what most of this is all about. So, while I cue up this tape, I am going to begin by sort of giving you an opportunity to have a musical break. And here's a little something that you may enjoy. It's a decade old, but I think it's still quite funny. If any of you may remember, there was this guy once who was our vice president called Quayle, Danny Quayle.
Here's the story of Dan Quayle. You can take it from his dad. His IQ was once 200. Then disaster struck when Dan was just a lad. You see, Danny got run over by a reindeer while he played some golf on Christmas Eve. If you think it never could have happened, just listen to his speeches, you'll believe. One December night in Muncie, Dan was putting on the roof. Santa flew right by the chimney. That's when Rudolph hit poor Danny with his hoof. Danny tried to go to law school. Though his grades were bad, they said. But there was a special program for students who have book prints on their head. Danny got run over by a reindeer while he double bogeyed Christmas Eve. If you think it never could have happened, just go and check his transcript, you'll believe. I called Santa Claus to scold him. I said Dan was not himself. Santa offered to employ him, but I knew Dan couldn't make it as an elf. I've been asked by many people, what's the key to Dan's renown? I said, go find Santa's reindeer and hope that they will bash you in the crown. Go and get run over by a reindeer. Play some golf at Indiana U. have your father make a lot of phone calls, and maybe you could get elected too. Somewhere on a roof, a guy is waiting, hoping reindeer kick him Christmas Eve. His neighbors think he's acting crazy, but that fella, Mike Dukakis, just won't leave. Ho, ho, ho!
And that was the Capitol Steps from an album called Danny's First Noel. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. What we're going to hear now is some of the oral communication, the long public comment that happened in the public hearing on the changes that the task force to examine the camping ordinance, the Catherine Byers Substitute Group for Real Action, which included council members Crone and Sugar, the proposals they presented, which essentially involved, they initially were proposing limiting the hours, making it more, tickets could only be issued between 2 and 6 a.m. There was a proposal that you couldn't issue tickets at all if people were sleeping outside without bedding, some rather ridiculous ideas, because they didn't want to really deal just by striking the word sleeping from the sleeping ban and not make it and eliminate sleeping, which Councilmember Porter has committed himself to do, but of course hasn't even proposed publicly a year and a quarter later, in violation of his commitment to the Green Party and to other constituents. But this was back in 99, when there was a landslide victory for Crone, Sugar, and Fitzmaurice, and Byers could have been forced to do this stuff because they had the political clout. Byers could have sided with the conservative majority, which at that time was Matthew Rotkin and Hernandez, but it's doubtful that she would have if there had been sufficient pressure and sufficient leadership from either Crone, Sugar, or Fitzmaurice. And of course, there wasn't. And we've seen the ultimate result of this. Of course, we need to do the leadership. We shouldn't have expected it from them, as has been pointed out to me. On February 23rd, after about two or three weeks after Catherine Byers had announced, after literally scores of hours of this committee meeting, the task force to examine the camping ordinance headed by Crone, Sugar, and Byers, they met in order to discuss these minor changes. And what you're going to hear is part of the debate, you're going to hear part of the debate later, but you're going to hear now is part of the public comment on the changes. We're going to just sort of drop right into the middle of it. I believe the first speaker that you hear, well, we'll put that speaker on and I'll interrupt briefly in order to let you know who's speaking. And at some point I'll give some of my commentary, which I hope will be kept down, because I've been getting some criticism that we want more of you and less of me. Can you imagine? By the way, if you want to call in at any point to comment on anything or to ask where's the beef, or in this case, where's the miso, whatever you're looking for, 427-3772 is our phone number here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. So that's 831-427-3772 if you're calling from Toronto or Portland, Oregon, which I hope has our listeners or some listeners. Sorry for that pause, but here we go.
We continue to move in the direction. I agree with everyone who says this is a small step. I would like the step to be bigger.
You're listening to SCAN member Pete Shanks talking.
As long as we keep the process going. And while I'm about it, I'd like very much to support the suggestions that Ruth Hunter made loads many hours ago, that the council try to move immediately to provide some toilet facilities. I think she's probably right. I think on a temporary basis at least, this probably could be done very quickly. And other palliative measures, anything you can do quickly would certainly be worth doing, even as a temporary measure. In the long run, we need to work this out as an entire community.
and I'd like to see this process as a step in that direction. Thank you.
Next up is Tom Shaver.
Council members, my name is Tom Shaver. My office is on Seabart Avenue. I live in a tent on Friends Line in Corralitos because it's too expensive to live in San Cruz. I sent you all a letter last week. And I sent me that letter sort of in a hurry because I was worried that nothing was going to be proposed tonight. And I'm glad that something was proposed because we wouldn't be here if you hadn't proposed anything. So I'm glad, like Peaches said, I'm glad that the process is rolling and things are happening. Now that I've had a chance to think about it, and especially hearing people here tonight, and going to a task force meeting in the afternoon and hearing some statistics from the police about what's going on, I'm here to ask you to do something more. In my estimation, from looking at it, I don't think the sleeping ordinance has done anything to alleviate the problems that people are talking about. Educating, peeing, trash, this kind of thing. And from the police statistics, they will respond to calls from people who say, there's somebody in my yard at any time that they are called, whether it's 11 to 8:30 or not.